Hey guys, this is Yusuf with the Barca Breakdown. Just my apologies for the sound quality coming up on this podcast. Just had to record with some headphones for Adam this week, but that'll be fixed on our next pod. Thanks, guys. Welcome back to the Barca Breakdown. I'm Yusuf, and I'm here with my co-host, Adam.
Hey guys, what's going on? Quite a week we had. You know, I think if you listen to our last podcast, we leave the PSG game with exactly what we wanted from the team. But the way that first half went down left a lot to be desired, right, Yusuf? I mean, the team did what we wanted, but I thought we could have left there with a W. You know, it's kind of trippy, but the Huesca game today, you know, 4-1 was exactly the score we needed. Unfortunately, the team didn't do it. I think today we're going to go over the PSG game and then cover the Huesca game from La Liga today, which leaves us 4 points behind Atletico. And then we'll talk a little bit more about what we want to see for the rest of the season, the Copa del Rey final, and some of the happenings in La Liga that are relevant to us. So let's just jump in, Yusuf. Talk to me about PSG.
Okay. Huge, huge. Like you said, to start it out, the team came out and did what we wanted. Unfortunately, it didn't come out the way we wanted. But what a game, right? So many opportunities Barcelona created, and I couldn't actually be more proud of the energy that we brought out. You know, and I think about all the terrible defeats we had in the Champions League the last few years, even in Copa del Rey, but like the team just would seem defeated coming into a second leg, or their energy's low. They don't seem like they're taking it seriously. But I'm going to tell you right now, the game against PSG honestly revamped my like excitement in this year's game. And even though we
different
lost,
story from the other years, 100%,
100%. And okay, boohoo, we got out of the Champions League before the quarterfinals, the first time since 2004-2005 season, I believe. What, like, that's terrible. But at the same time, I couldn't be happier. The players like Dembele coming out and taking all the, I know there's a lot of hate around him, and
a lot of
you were
hate,
telling
dude.
Me to, yeah.
Dembele's hate is real on all sorts of things. Yeah, but I think I agree with where you're going, man. Like, Dembele came out and provided a lot of energy, and you know, he's a little bit of a baffling player, right? Because he had those two goals against Sevilla. One was just a breakaway in, I think that was in La Liga, where he had a breakaway and scored 1-on-1. And the other one was a rocket from outside the box in the Copa del Rey. And, you know, the unfortunate part about him is that sometimes it just seems he can't put the ball in the net on the easy shots. And
yeah.
So, you know, a lot of that first half, you know, Koeman again went with the 3-5-2. And it looked like that was the right formation against PSG. And even though, you know, it seemed like they were playing a game where they had all their defenders in the box, I don't think that's the game they really wanted to play. And that's credit to Koeman and the team for doing well. And like you're saying, Dembele came out and, hey, he had a lot of shots that unfortunately went right to Navas or went over the bar. And, you know, would we like him to be more clinical? Yes. But some of the hate I see for Dembele is just so absurd for, like, a 23-year-old kid. Right, I think most of the people who are hating on him probably, you know, stay at home when they're 23 or, you know, haven't made it in their career when they want. Like, he's playing for the biggest club in the world. He spent a few years injured. And overall, I was so excited to see him just light it on fire in the PSG game. You know, the first half, of course, we had that beautiful goal from Messi. One of the nicest goals I've seen him score in quite a while.
Right? It's beautiful.
Kind of sucks, right? Like, it sucks a lot that, like, his free kick against Liverpool and his goal against PSG are some of my favorite Messi goals in the last few years, and they came in rather poor defeats, or I guess
sure.
This one was a draw. And then, you know, but let's get into kind of what pissed me off about the game, Yusuf. So, like we said, Dembele looked good. I thought Dest looked really good. Pedri looked a lot better and ready for the moment than that first leg. What I thought was so stupid, okay, Lenglet, he kind of effed up again, although this one wasn't as much of a bonehead mistake as the other penalties he's allowed this season, which have been way too many, right? This one,
I don't think he saw
just,
the,
Icardi, right? He was basically in the box, and then Icardi, you know, like, he was going forward, and his foot hit the guy's heel, thought it was a questionable penalty. Okay, let's say they give him the penalty, and Mbappe scores. But they gave Lenglet the yellow card. And then, when Kurzawa gets the penalty, he's already on a yellow, and they don't give him that second yellow. I was livid. Like, the fact that, you know, of course, should Messi have scored? Yes. I will admit I was sitting there thinking, like, oh, man, this has a bad omen around it when he came up to the penalty spot. But how did they not give the second yellow card there? That would have totally changed the game.
100%. And the way the game was going already, they would have been in way more trouble, right? And how did they didn't give it? I don't know, dude. I don't trust a lot of these refs a lot of the time, and like their calls are not very consistent between leagues or even between the same league. So there's not really like, what are we supposed to say, right? How many times have we complained about bad calls, and how many times have we said like, it seems like there's no consistency. Like, right, VAR is not 100% foolproof, and we see that quite often. In some of these plays, they have rules on what can be reviewed and what can't be reviewed.
Sure.
But I don't, you know, it just, that's, I guess that's the way the cookie crumbles sometimes.
Well, but speaking of it, man, so here's the thing, okay? They effed up, in my opinion, on the Kurzawa second yellow. Messi hits the penalty, misses, but they didn't, and if they would have VAR'd it back, they would have saw that the PSG player was encroaching, and it should have been a retake of the penalty. Did you see that? And the fact that VAR took a second look and didn't decide.
Sure.
Like, I think that sometimes, you know, even though it's like video assistant referee, which I feel like gives some sort of connotation for like a impartial video or like robot being involved, like it's still two refs on both sides of the coin there who make these decisions, the VAR ref or the on-field ref. And I feel like a lot of times they are susceptible to the pressures that anyone is, which is like, do you want to make that big call in a big game that might result in a lot of bad press, right? And, you know, I have to think in this case they choked on it and didn't give us that retake of the penalty. Because we were the better team, man. That, I mean, you know, it's hard. There's just so much toxicity in the world. And
well,
you and I in 2021 are trying to be on this good vibes train and be all Nirvana-like and happy and thankful for every moment. But
let's talk about two positive things. I don't want to get too negative, okay?
Sure, thank you.
Especially on I knew the train you're going down, and I understand it. But you were positive today, and with Huesca, and then when PSG happened. But one, Messi scored outside the I think it was outside the box, but a great shot in a distant right. We were talking about for a while he was having trouble scoring outside the box or taking a lot of shots. I think that's a positive highlight, and including today's game in Huesca, that was an amazing shot by him as well.
Both of them.
Very beautiful. Yeah, true, both of them. On top of that, I want to say that Dembele, the biggest thing about Dembele, one, was that he was running and getting in front of players, taking great passes, not being offsides, right? He was receiving the ball in great positions. I think that's a great setup for the next few weeks coming up because they're going to be very important in taking league. If we can do that. But I just think like those two things, if he can just finish, he's getting himself in the position, and that's half the battle, right? And I don't think that game is something that we should be having our heads down on, because going into the game, we were already thinking, I don't think we're coming out of this, right?
Sure.
And that's okay, but I would just say like the result of what actually happened versus what I thought might happen, what actually happened is a lot better. We looked good, we felt good, and I think that'll coming up is going to be much more beneficial to us for our mental cooperation between our team members and whatnot, and including today's game against Huesca. We looked good.
True. I mean, the team believes, right? There's no doubt about it. You know, sure. I think the results are where things matter, but you know, it's what we covered in last pod about, you know, some of the doubts about keeping Coleman for next year is like, you go back to the beginning of the season and you read the roster and you read the transfers and the Messi debacle and the Burrow facts. Like, you know, we never thought we would be in this position to have such a possibility to win the league and to win the Copa. And so, yeah, of course, right? We're Barca fans. We expect the most out of our club. But, you know, we can't win them all. And I think the team has that belief, like you're saying, and came out with that energy that I was proud of, right? Like, you could have easily thought of a situation where the team fumbled. Jordi Alba's crying in the locker room at halftime. Busquets looks old and slow.
Sure.
Pedri can't meet the moment. De Jong and Dembele look bashful. But no, that didn't happen. The team came out, a lot of energy, really pushed the tempo. And you know what? Overall, I'm happy, right? Like, we came to Paris and everyone thought we deserved a better victory than the draw we got. And so, hey, keep your heads up high. We have a lot to play for the rest of the season, which I'm stoked about. I think, you know, Mingueza, we got to keep getting credit to. He looked good, and then he scored again today, which was huge. But you know who actually impressed me, Yus? This might be the first. Wait. This might be the first good comment we have for this man. And I know we hate on the haters a lot, but The player I'm about to mention has not really delivered anything that I think a lot of us could have been proud of until this game.
Until today's game?
No, the PSG game. Do you know who it
Oh,
is?
PSG? I feel
Firpo,
like you're
dude.
thinking. Oh, Firpo. Oh,
Yeah,
okay. I
man.
was.
He came on shortly after half and really did a good job defending Mbappe. And I'm excited to see what Koeman has
Thank
in
you for
store for
reminding me,
him.
but keep going.
Sure, what Koeman has in store for the rest of the season. Because without getting too far ahead here, the three at the back, Koeman started three at the back against PSG. He did it again against Huesca today. It looks like his formation of preference for this team. And I think it should be interesting to see if Firpo can get some time. Speaking of the three at the back, one interesting thing we saw against PSG was we saw Dest look really good.
Yeah. And I think he did good before
Sevilla.
against Mbappe in the first game. But what I was going to say about Firpo was that I really enjoyed his aggressiveness on Mbappe. I've said multiple times over, many pods, a lot of times we seem to get bullied and we seem to not give enough aggression, and Firpo was all over him like white on rice, okay? He was not giving him space, he was making him upset, he's making him frustrated, and that was one thing I think that really kind of kept Mbappe down, right? Like making sure that he kind of felt like he was getting bullied a little bodied, getting a little dirty. And sometimes, we complain about when other teams do that to Messi and other players, but like in this
It worked.
situation, I think for
Yeah.
yeah, it worked, and Firpo did a great job.
True. Were there any other thoughts you had about the game? I mean, there was some crazy stuff. I don't know if you read any of the press about this, but Di Maria was subbed off in that game, and apparently he was subbed off because there was a violent armed robbery at his house.
I did not hear about
Yeah.
this.
So, there's some extra things going on that were pretty shocking, but what other any other thoughts you had about the game? I know it's like fresh on the top of your mind. You watched it again today.
Sure. Oh yeah. Unfortunately, I think just the result of the game was also caused by some bad luck, one, and two, Navas just had a really good
Yeah.
game. And there's not much you can do about that when the goalie's just jumping high left and right and just getting great touches on the ball and stopping it. Like, I remember one save came through, and it just came off his fingertips just enough to hit off the post on the top and come back out. That's just unfortunate for us. I do think that Griezmann was a little, not a little bit, he was quiet that game. Not very many passes from him or any involvement in the front side of the ball. Frankie seemed to stay back a lot more, and I know you're talking about the formation, so there, Koeman likes to play different lineups against these teams, and that lineup I think did really well, just kind of making sure we didn't get countered. And I thought our defense looked a lot better. That was a big thing, right? In the first leg, we were just prone to, I think in the second half, we were really prone to a lot of opportunities by them, and I
Sure.
think this game we kind of prevented that more.
Well, speaking of Frankie, one interesting thing is that he keeps playing Frankie as, the middle of the three in the back, which is super interesting because Frankie is such a versatile player, and a lot of times we'll see him drift forward and try and carry the ball onwards. But it is interesting to see. I mean, I get kind of conflicted about the use of Frankie because, there's no doubt about it. Since we switched to a 3-5-2, which I think was, right before we had that second leg against Sevilla in the Copa when we had to come back. I think it might have been against Elche when we started to do the 3-5-2. He's been putting Frankie in the back, which is interesting because there was that period in January and early February when Frankie was scoring a lot. Remember that? And a lot of us were really excited about seeing Frankie go forward and score goals inside the box. And I think why that brings such a big element for our team is, you think about Messi's goal against PSG. You think about, Dembele scoring that outside the box goal against Sevilla. You think about the game against Huesca today, right? You have Messi twice from outside the box. You have Griezmann from outside the box. And what you end up realizing is that our team really has no ability to, get the ball to players inside the box and score. It's a huge worry I have, which is, there's just with Griezmann not really being on point lately, with You know, just the way our team is set up, it does kind of worry me that there's not a lot of threat for our team inside the box because, like, you know, as much as we love to see these bangers from Dembele, Griezmann,
Sure.
and Messi, from far away, it's like it's just a much lower percentage shot,
100%. Less
And so,
less reliable.
yeah, and so one of the interesting things is like, okay, 3-5-2 is working well, and the three a lot of times is having Frankie play as one of the three, but it's like, you know, at the same time, it kind of robs us of one, his forward creativity, and two, his ability to like attack in the box.
Yeah, I mean, that's the where I think we're still trying to feel out certain things, right? We're playing different games, so slightly different formations. Is that necessarily bad? No, but I think I agree with you on the reliability of having those outside shots and not making space inside the box to make higher chance opportunities, right? And that kind of also reminds me of an issue that I saw against PSG was that we were getting a lot of corners and unfortunately not really anything coming out of it. And I think we need to work on our chess or chess. We need to work on our
Set pieces.
set pieces, and I think that will actually help us a lot. And I think today, just to blend our conversation a little bit, but against Huesca, we had some great passes, great crossing, and just great connections. Like the header from Ingueza from Messi assist, right? That was
Sure.
great opportunity. And I think if we can utilize that a little bit more, and that's one thing I've kind of noticed. We're able to utilize different facets of the play more regularly between games. Before, I think we were having a lot of messy saves of the day. We were having a lot of, I don't know, lucky chances, maybe some penalties. But now it looks like we're able to score in different facets. They may not be consistent, but they are happening more often.
Well, I mean, one thing I think too is that you know, Araujo seems like probably our best header of the ball, and Piqué, of course, is
Yeah.
pretty good at heading the balls in. And both of those guys have been out, and so you know, I wonder if they were in, if we would have better chances on those corners. And you know, I think the kind of our talk about scoring and how we're scoring goals brings up two huge points, right? One, I think it makes it obvious we need a striker, and you know, we're hoping Haaland will be the answer there. And there's also a lot of talks about Sergio Aguero, who is one of my favorite players ever, but also getting a bit older. And you know, I think no matter what, right, the obvious thing we need here is we need a better goal scorer up front in terms of like a striker. And then the other thing is, you know, if you go back and listen to our pods from last season, there was a lot of worry on our end because we were using Ansu Fati so much at a young age. But I think what we're really seeing is that, you know, his knack for goal would have really come in big against PSG. And, you know, throughout the season, like, even though we are back in the race for La Liga, like, and, you know, we made that great comeback against Copa del Rey, you know, things have kind of went our way more than we like to admit because, you know, obviously we're out of the Champions League, which, you know, a few more lucky bounces, we would still be in the competition. But I think overall, you know, having Fati throughout the season would have been a huge, huge thing for us. I think, you know, we really miss his knack for goal and his ability to score from inside the box. And so I'm glad to see there's some reports that he's getting back to training. Hopefully it won't be too long here till we have him back.
Yeah, I mean, we really were integrating him into our team, and I think that the loss of him has definitely shaken things up. We had to readjust, but I think you're right. You know, like it'll be interesting to have him come back and, you know, add to the team, especially with this close La Liga race, right? Like, and you were just saying a moment ago that we were really not doing too hot, and we're just coming back, right? And we're same games played as Atletico, and we're only 4 points behind. Which is
Dude,
huge. And
I'm pumped, man. Can you believe it? Like, sometimes I just get just so filled with joy. And oh man, I know I'm gonna regret this if we play back this pod in 3 months and we lose La Liga, but like for once it just kind of seems like this is our time, you know? I don't know why. It feels like most Barca seasons when we win La Liga, we're ahead most of the season and we don't come back.
I was just thinking
That's
that.
funny. And this season, I don't know, man. I have a good feeling. Like you're right. Atletico played the game they had in hand this past week against Getafe, and they drew, even though Getafe got a red card. And you would have thought they would have scored in that situation. And you know, we got 3 points against Real Madrid coming up. We got 3 points against Atletico. It's going to be tough, But for some reason, I feel like the winds of favor are in our direction.
Well, I think if we can break through the next three games, actually four games, I would say, I think we'd have a really good chance, right? Coming up, we have Real Sociedad, which will be tough, and they're doing
Away
really
at
well.
Anoeta,
Yeah, it's gonna be
before
rough.
Valverde, before the king Valverde came in and broke the curse, that was always a
Yeah.
ground we really struggled with. So you're right, that's gonna be really hard. But I think, one of the good things about the rest of the season is that we basically play once a week. Whereas we had this crazy packed season so far, and in February, I think we had like three extra time games we had to play, resulting in that awful loss in the Supercopa. Like now we're going to once a week, which, with rest and with Busquets looking better in a 3-5-2, Messi always going to be happy with some more rest at his age. With Piqué and Araujo and Fati, some of these players being able to get healthy, I think, the season is just prepared well for us to take advantage. One thing we haven't talked about too much is the Huesca game. We just won 4-1. I think we kind of peppered throughout what happened there, in terms of, one great Messi goal, one great Griezmann goal, both of them from outside the box. The Mingueza header from the Messi assist was really nice. And then Messi got a nice deflection right at the end of the game. We got kind of screwed again, Yus. I don't want to be the tinfoil hat guy here. I'm not anti-vax. I'm not any of those type of things. But did you see the penalty before halftime? It was real BS.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we've just had bad luck with those things, to be honest, the last few games, or just generally. I mean, what am I supposed to say though? Yeah, it just seems like that's our luck lately, and I don't know,
True. I
man.
mean, luck on VAR. VAR, especially
Yeah.
lately, has made me pretty mad in the refereeing. But, overall,
The
I thought
thing.
the team looked really good. Dembele, like we kind of alluded to earlier, feels like a lot of the hate he got from fans because of his shots during the Champions League game, he looked a little more timid today. Griezmann still didn't look good, but had, a banger of a goal, which will hopefully will spark his confidence. I feel like, at the turn of this year, there was a few games where he scored some goals that really, hyped him up. So I'm hoping he can ride today's goal into some more confidence. Mingueza, first ever goal with Barca. And then, of course, we'd be mistaken not to mention the Huesca game because it was the game in which Messi tied Xavi. I think, what, 767 games, tied for the most all time with Barca. And he scored some great goals. So, I'm
Not.
pretty happy with how this turned out. I think, it was a little bit of a sleeper game. We were really focused on PSG in our last podcast, and of course we, because of real life events, had to, not record right after the PSG game and wait till after the Huesca game. But it was one of those games that can be a sleeper, little dip in the season. And thankfully the team showed up. They got the penalty, which was kind of BS. They also had another opportunity right in front of net that I was surprised they missed, and so the game could have been a little bit closer than the score line showed. But we're now 4 points back from Atletico, who midweek, I think it'll be on Wednesday, they're going to play in London against Chelsea, and that's a game they really want to win to continue on. And then they have, I think, Alaves this weekend. So Atletico are, they got a little bit of a interesting schedule here, right? Like, I don't know. Are you rooting for them to win against Chelsea and overcome the away goal so that they're still in the competition, or are you spiteful and don't want to see them advance in the Champions League?
What kind of question? That's very pointed and accusatory, but
No. I'm all for the spiting rival team.
I see. Okay. Well, okay. Now this brings up some thought that if they get knocked out of the Champions League, they can focus all their attention on La Liga, right? And we don't necessarily want that. Do I think they're gonna take the Champions League after the quarterfinals and get even to the finals or
No,
semifinals?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so. So I'd rather them spend some time playing their players, tiring them out, just kind of not able to focus as much attention on La Liga so that we can steal it from underneath them with our energy and our power and just overcome them and make them feel terrible. I think that's better and spiteful in that sense.
Sure. I mean, I think we're both, you know, clearly going to root against Real Madrid tomorrow. But, you know, what would really make me mad, dude? Could you imagine Luis Suarez, after all his failures for us
no.
in the last few years, could you imagine him scoring like a hat trick away at Chelsea? My blood would boil, you know. Thankfully, Messi's, you know, and I feel like we always have to say this, you know, just so people don't get upset. Luis Suarez is a legend. We love him. He was a great Barca player, but the end, he got pretty stale. Thankfully, Messi's, you know, winning the Pichichi, which Suarez is leading for a while. But, dude, if Suarez scores some sort of crazy goal to win it late, I'm going to be so pissed that he couldn't do that at all for us the last few years.
Well, okay, let's not forget when he scored 3 goals against Real Madrid, right?
True. I mean, he also scored the winner in the Champions League final. So, you know, he had some big goals, 100%.
Yeah.
It's just his Champions League form, specifically in the knockout stages in the last few years, if he all of a sudden turns up for Atletico, I'm going to be a little bit salty.
Well, let's be honest. If you go back to a few of our Champions League's podcasts in the last few years, talking about how many missed opportunities Suarez had, how he looked dead, how he didn't seem like he was out of shape, right, or not as fit. He was eating too much meat or something. They had to go on some special diet, right? So, like, this is not something you guys haven't heard before from us. So, but I was going to say that the one thing I was thinking that, speaking of tiredness, right? We just played against PSG. We just played against Huesca. We just played, you know, Griezmann, Dembele, Messi. Messi's been playing a lot, including the games against Sevilla. We're coming up against Real Sociedad, then Real Madrid, Athletic Club in the Copa del Rey final, right? When are we going to rest some players? I mean, I know we're subbing some players out, but we're not resting these major players like Messi, Dembele, Griezmann up in the front. A lot of play by Lenglet, a lot of play in the midfield by Frankie, and Dest is playing a lot, right? So when are we going to rest some of these major players?
That's a good point, Yus. I mean, I think, you know, part of what is so promising about the team is that Dembele, Pedri, Dest, De Jong, Mingueza, you know, those are all players under 25. You know, thankfully, hopefully they're more ready to play, although, you know, that can go both ways in terms of, like, how much they prepared their bodies for a full season of play. That's a good question. I mean, you know, even though I don't like them, right? Like, there's still some players on the bench, like Pjanic. There's still Trincao. There's still Firpo. Mm-hmm. There's Umtiti. There is, you know, there's players to be rotated. So, you know, I think what you're alluding to is, like, hey, you look at the schedule. There's none of those, like, you know, Huesca would have been the game, right? Would have been, like, Huesca's bottom of the league.
Exactly.
You would think Huesca is, like, the easy game to rest someone because, you know, I think Valladolid coming up on April 4th. Is that our next match?
Next match is Real.
Yeah, it's 2 matches from now. But Valladolid sitting at 16th, right? I think that's a game where we can probably get away with resting some players, and I think that is, you know, if we're circling on the calendar when we expect it, I think that's it. And then, you know, we got to go hard. Like, you know, I'm looking at the April calendar like you. Madrid, Bilbao in the Copa final, then Getafe, Villarreal, and Granada. I mean, those are all some pretty exciting teams. I mean, Getafe, again, you know, is in the bottom, you know, 25% of the league. So I think there are a few games in there to rest. It's just a matter of, you know, how confident do we feel resting Messi? You know, I feel like that was something we always talked about in the Valverde years is like, oh, we want to rest Messi before some of these big Champions League games. And then, like, if we did, we'd be giving up points automatically. And so, you know, I kind of feel confident that Koeman is going to be able to rest players wisely. Or at least, if not rest them wisely, at least instill them with, like, the confidence and belief they need to be able to be like, okay, Messi's not playing this game. How do we come out here and still take a W?
Sure.
Right? What do you think?
I do think, I mean, I agree in that we do have players we can sub out, and that I think that Messi has also taken, or has been a little more relaxed, I should say. Not, I mean, he's still been playing aggressively, scoring goals, but I think some of the stress, I should say, has come off of him a little bit because it seems like some more players are scoring goals. Seems like the ball's moving more without him as much being the main creator. Even though he still really is main scorer, main creator. But as much as he was doing before, I think, has lessened a little bit, and it's just taking it seems like the whole team's contributing to our success right now. Before, and talking about the Valverde days, I think Messi was taking a lot of that onto his back, and I'm sure mental and physical stress has tired him in the past, but I think that at least if he's physically tired, he's not as mentally tired for these games. He's more positive about them, and, you know, he's probably a little bit happier, not so doom gloom, like we're not going to win league, we're not going to win Champions League. I think he's just, you know, after such a rough year, I think this is kind of like a fresh spring, you know, a fresh shower. You come out of the shower and you feel really good, kind of thing. So those are my thoughts on that, to be honest.
Well, I hope so, Yus. I have some good feelings about the games to come. I mean, I'm hoping the team doesn't let any of these, you know, games slide, and Real Sociedad's going to be a big challenge, but we're going to be here for you with some content. Like always, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Barca Breakdown. Looks like we're going to try and get some YouTube action going. So, you know, no big promises yet, but that's on the horizon. And I think I just want to say thank you, everyone, for listening to us.
Thank you, guys. And if you guys have any recommendations, like he said, please just message us or leave us comments, concerns on Instagram or Twitter. If you have any ideas for YouTube or what you'd like to see or hear, please let us know. And I hope you guys have a wonderful week, and we'll see you soon for the Real Sociedad game.
Thank you.